Winnie Lawrence is celebrating his 30th wedding anniversary. He's been married 30 times.
You said that one already.
Yeah.
Cross it off.
Oh, I better cross it off then. Okay.
I never wanted to believe that my father was stealing from his job with the city street department, but when I got home, the signs were all there.
I actually had a friend who did that.
I got my own little 3 seconds of silence there. Jeez, it must be contagious.
Yeah, I like
that.
I
wasn't sure if you were telling on yourself or not.
Oh, that's it. Isn't that a joke under construction?
Touche.
And Steve gets the silent
treatment. Yep.
Hey, no acknowledgement is acknowledgement.
Broken pencils are pointless. I tried to catch some fog, but I missed.
Oh, that one took me a minute.
Yeah.
Where's that thing?
Not one.
We need a groan button.
I think we're pretty good about supplying those.
Hey, that works.
I stayed up all night to see where the sun went. Then it dawned on me.
Now, see, Dawn should have really been here for that.
Oh, yeah. She has to work.
Oh.
Work.
Don't you hate it when that happens?
I do.
Oh, well, we're all sitting around. I think the board is all powered up, right?
Sort of.
Why don't we do a countdown and check it out?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hi, this is Stamp Show Steve, and you are listening to Stamp Show Here Today.
Return to sender. Stamp collecting happens when we dream together.
Welcome to Stamp Show Here Today, episode number 41. I'm sitting here with Scott, Cash, Steve, and Jeff, and I'm your host, Jessica. You can find us on Facebook at Stamp Show Here Today and on Twitter at Stamp Show HT. Tell your friends you can find us on iTunes, Podbay, and Stitcher. Let's talk about stamps. So this week we'll be talking about stamp news, the upcoming APS stamp show in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hashtag stamp stories, hashtag a summer stamps, hashtag stampcation. And our expert topic of the week is colonial revenues.
And always remember, stamp collecting happens when we dream together.
I almost made it without him.
That doesn't mean anything.
Well, actually, it must mean something.
Stamp News lends reports that the American Philatelic Society will present Stamp Show, the nation's largest annual postage stamps event. This is going to be held August 20, which is a Thursday, through Sunday, August 23, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, at the DeVos Place Convention Center, 303 Monroe Avenue, NW, in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
How do you spell NW?
You spell it Northwest.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why they put that in their directions. Like, even our hotels is something like that.
NW. I mean, I live at West Cypress Avenue, but that's before it, and NW is just a weird direction.
When I lived up in Washington, probably half the streets had Northwest or Southwest or Northeast or something like that.
And if they didn't, they were a regular?
Well, up there, they're very into compass coordinates. The traditional gift of a girl is not flowers, but to give her a nice compass.
Thanks for giving us directions, Kat.
Good pointers.
They don't get wedding rings. Oof. They get wedding compasses.
Steve got it.
So this show will host more than 120 dealers. That's a lot.
The best dealer gets a show compass.
Oh, no.
Is that the grand prize for the exhibits?
Yes.
And there'll be 15,000 pages of collector's exhibits, which is, I think, one of the biggest ones we've been to then.
There's going to be a great exhibit on compasses.
Is there going to be one on chicken stamps yet?
I'm still working on my chicken stamp. You have to fill a full frame. And the hitch is I've got like five really great pages. but you got to get 16.
I would say just kind of space them out.
Yeah, space it really
still
wide.
Still trying to find a chicken compass.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Well, you know, it is difficult to find that material that is exhibit worthy.
Yeah, yeah.
On such a modern subject.
Well, I can fill half a frame really well, and then the other half a frame, it'll basically just be blank space. You know, it's filler.
You still have to do find some blank covers and put stuff like Peter and the chicken from Family Guy and stuff on them.
Yep.
Oh, do you know the name of the chicken that
you're
he's
looking
fighting?
All in the wrong place for the end of the exhibit.
He has a name.
What's the chicken's name?
Ernie.
Well, you know why they originally started fighting.
Oh, what was it? I saw it.
I'm sorry, your exhibit's lacking.
No, this is Family Guy now. We've moved on from
stamps
to Family Guy.
No, I wasn't done commenting on the chicken exhibit. Well, the reason being is you said you're missing.
Keep up, Steve.
I was keeping up. I was waiting. I was being nice and polite and allowed him to finish his commentary.
Nobody's polite here.
In that case, bok, 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 bok. Anyway, your chicken exhibit, you don't have anything for the last half. That's because you're missing the boat and that you don't have any JQs in there.
Oh, I could use the special handling, chicken handling.
Postage due stamps for chickens that have been delivered through the mail, which qualify for your true postal history of that exhibit.
Well, but the thing is that it's actually on the 1948.
There you go.
Which are 19 blank 8.
You have the catalog next to you. Look it up.
Yeah.
I know exactly what it
is. It's 949.
No, it's not. It's 968.
968, then it's whatever it is. But it's, you know, I am going to have some background material on it. Like, Scott gave me a great cover on Brahma chickens. And there's a Brahma chicken on the stamp.
Cool.
I thought the Colonel cover was cool.
Yes, I also have a Colonel Sanders cover. And I also have Britain had machine cancels.
Are you discriminating?
For Colonel Sanders. And I got some British stamps with Colonel Sanders advertisements on it.
What about if you got a rooster cover? Does it go in?
Sure.
It has a chicken stamp in it, but it has a rooster painted on it.
Sure. Well, I'm going to have roosters. I'm going to have Peter Griffin fighting a rooster, and it's going to be on a cover. Well,
who is now known to be named Ernie.
Ernie.
Yeah, I don't care.
And they started fighting, to answer the question, they started fighting because the chicken gave Peter an expired coupon.
Yep.
And so they started fighting because he got an expired coupon.
Okay, so back to the show.
After the non sequiturs.
Why go back to the show?
Non sequiturs.
Okay, the show hours are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And on Sunday, they're slightly shorter at 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And admission is, of course, gratis or free.
And as a side note, you can see us there if you really want to.
Hey, we give out free gifts.
Free stuff.
We do. There's a guy that actually collects all the freebies we give out.
So yeah.
Hopefully we'll see him there.
There's a number of guys that do that.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people.
Maybe they'll trade him sometime.
Oh, yeah.
So in addition to that, Mary Ann Penner will be in attendance. She's acting director of Stamp Services. She'll be there to host the first ever public forum at 11 a.m. on Friday. So be sure to go and show your support for bringing back the Lick and Stick.
Forum on what?
It's an open forum.
Oh, just open forum for her. Oh, okay.
For the Postal Service,
I guess. You can go up there and say, I sent a letter.
It
got lost in the mail. Can you help me find it?
I want to demand one of those 100 Jenny sheets.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, that's probably what most of it's going to be about.
Well, yeah. Who's the lucky recipient? What are you talking about? For the Jenny sheet here today. No. Well, you're there with Miss Penner. I was setting up a scenario, and you guys missed it. You say, you're going to ask a question. Say, and who is the lucky recipient of the Jenny sheet here today? You put her on the spot.
You brought the rest of them with you, right?
I was going to send one to Jim and Oshka. Oh, I shouldn't have said anything.
Right. I realized that I was receiving this today, but I didn't think it was fair.
So Harmer Shao and Regency Superior will both be running live auctions all 4 days. For the youth, there's going to be stamps, by the bucket for ages under 16. So if you're 17, try to pull off 16. They're for $1, while the adults will pay $5 per bucket.
That's age discrimination.
I know. Ageism.
It works.
They're actually fairly large buckets, too.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
And Stamps in Your Attic will be back. We've seen them before. And our favorite artist, Chris Cali, will be in attendance. So he'll be giving up autographs for any of the stamps that he's done or enjoys creating.
Yeah, he did.
Well, he's done a couple of the moon landing stamps, but he's also done others.
And I believe his father did the...
He and his father both worked on, I believe it was C-76.
Yeah.
Was he the one that signed the encapsulated moon landing stamps for
us?
Yes. And he also did the first 12 lunar New Year stamps.
Oh, wow.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it says he's done 200 worldwide postage stamps, so he doesn't just do U.S.
He is a very nice man.
Anything else that you guys want to bring up that you particularly want to go see at the show?
Come see me.
Yes, we will be there.
I am going to be on the Lynn's Stamp News Advisory Board. We will be also having an open forum on Friday.
And what does that do?
That is just to kind of... They want to change the way that Lynn's is presented. And so we're going to have meetings.
Presented to who? You mean to their declining member?
Well, they want to make it more relevant. They want to reach the collectors of today, not the collectors of 50 years ago. I mean, they're putting out a weekly magazine. How many people read a weekly magazine?
That's the problem. Yeah. I read the monthly, but the weeklies are so thin.
Okay, I addressed this issue at lunch 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, and there would be more relevance if there were more people buying stamps, offering buy prices. There would be a need to look at it every week. If there's an upward trend market and there's a demand for things, then people want to know about it right away and all the time.
Yeah, but the hardest thing for a magazine to get is advertisers.
Print in general is dying. It's an issue.
Yeah. So where's it all going?
Online. Their website has done really well. If I want to look up stamp news, I go straight to Lynn's homepage.
You do, and I never will. I mean, I'm not going to sit in front of the computer and
pull up a
newspaper ad.
I heard that there's a stamp collecting podcast that you can listen to.
Yeah. Those exist, too.
And take the time to read. You know, from a computer, it's different. That's, you grew up with it, I didn't. So,
I'm
one of those 50-year-old people.
I'm still old enough where I can't read an actual book on a screen. It drives me buggy if it's more than just a couple of paragraphs of something.
I totally agree.
I need a printed format. I will print out books I have digitally.
Okay, so if you want to attend the show, you will be joined by 5,000 other people. They hope to have 5,000 people there. And you can go to the APS website if you want more information.
I'm going to go back just one more thing.
If you were in China, you'd have
one thing.
500,000.
True. Oh, yeah. One thing about advertising, and Steve will attest to this, if you advertise a stamp show, like Stamps in the Attic, I think is by far the best advertisement that you can possibly do for one of these stamp shows. You get tons of people in bringing in their stamps in the attic. And the few local stamp shows where you have a large, like, media blitz inside of a newspaper, you have lots of people in the immediate vicinity bringing in their stamp collections to get them evaluated and stuff like that. So advertising does work.
It's funny
but it's hard.
It's funny how those people that come in just to find out if their stamps are worth anything, about 15 or 20% of the time, they end up taking the stamps home and actually becoming collectors.
Yeah.
Because then they see, wow, there are all these people that are into stamps.
Yeah.
It must be something interesting.
Yep. Or quick run, sell, and hide.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of those, too. Yeah.
Okay, hashtag stamp stories or summer fun series. We're going to talk about Stampcation, since we're all going to the APS Stamp Show. What are your Stampcation goals?
Buy a stamp. Oh.
I'm driving to Grand Rapids, so mine is to stop at about 12 places between Southern California and Grand Rapids, Michigan, including some fossil pits and the Denver Mint. I want to go to the Denver Mint and some parks and stuff like that. So mine is in the trip too.
See, that's a stampcation. That's finding fun things to do along the way. Yeah. Exactly.
I actually looked up the top 10 things to do in Grand Rapids, Michigan after the show doors close. So number one, I've never heard of this artist before, but apparently Frederick Mueller Gardens and Sculpture Park is number one. It's the highest rated on TripAdvisor. The Mayor May House, some fancy house. Gerald R. Ford Museum. So our president's museum's there. Leonardo da Vinci's horse. I didn't know he had one, but apparently he sculpted one.
Okay.
Art Prize, which is a prize in the shape of a horse. The Grand Rapids Public Museum. That looks nice. There's some dinosaur sculptures they have up for display. Boat tours. Apparently we will be near water.
We will be. Lake Michigan, to be specific.
Oh, that's right.
Done. I would love to go see that while I'm there, actually.
Just don't take your stamps.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
The Grand Rapids Symphony. They have a beautiful stadium out there. You can go see shows. And John Ball Zoo. So there's a zoo there. And they have like a gecko on the cover of this ad here.
So well, they also have a zoo out there, but it's not a very good zoo. It's just got a dog in it. It's a shih tzu.
Oh, that was the sound of me slapping my forehead.
A couple more things. Grand Rapids Art Museum and Grand Rapids Children Museum and Heritage Hill Historic District. That looks nice. It looks like a nice place to walk around. Just very historic homes. You don't need to go anywhere. It's just kind of a district. You just walk around and look at, oh, look at that architecture.
If there's anybody that understands the significance for Battle Creek, you are going to be within an hour of Battle Creek, Michigan while you were at the stamp show also. So that's a short drive out there.
You can get cornflakes.
Yep. You can get posted.
Absolutely.
Go see Kellogg's house or his brother. They hated each other.
His brother was the co-inventor of the tube sock.
Actually, no, he's the co-inventor of the cornflake.
And the tube sock.
No, the cornflake. They had a falling out when his brother...
wanted to put the cornflakes in a tube sock?
No, added sugar to cornflakes. And Kellogg was a health nut and thought that was the end of the world.
I think I saw that in the tube sock museum.
No, you didn't.
That's where they invented Frosted Flakes.
And I was just saying, he'd be rolling over in his grave right now if he saw what Kellogg's did to their cornflakes today.
So,
well, if he was alive, he'd have bigger problems than that.
Probably.
So tell us about your favorite sites and places to visit and things to do on Twitter. Hashtag Stamp Stories. Hashtag A Summer of Stamps. Hashtag Stampcation. So updates. Cash, talk.
Well, first of all, 4th of July, we got our feedback for the monthly listeners, and we have a worldwide audience and a lot of hits, but we lost about half our audience on July 4th, which was kind of interesting because we have a really nice upward curve, getting, and then all of a sudden it nosedives July 4th.
It looks like it had time to, it took time to climb back out of it, too.
Yeah.
People really partied that 4th of July.
Second important thing, the United Nations issued stamps commemorating World Poetry Day.
Okay.
So I just wanted to share my favorite poem.
Which was Maya Angelou credited with them?
I think this is a Maya Angelou. It's roses are red, violets are blue. Some poems rhyme, but this one doesn't.
Oh, okay. I think she wrote that. I remember that in one of her books.
I think that's on one of the stamps.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the important breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Is that they have started pre-production on the new Star Wars movie, which is going to be a prequel to Han Solo. It's going to show, I guess, episode one where Anakin goes through the pod racing and everything like that. They're going to do that with Han Solo, except hopefully without Jar Jar.
Yes, please. No Jar Jars. Oh, no. That's going to go right into Jessica's favorite comedy routine. Are they going to show Han as a kid? They're going to show him as a kid. And you know, his parents are going to die. And Jessica has a comedy routine where
no, it's
they
Patton
talk
Oswalt
about it.
Who talks about
well, it's
it.
Disney.
The
it's
prequels.
Disney.
Now it's Disney.
It's Disney. So the parents pretty much are toast. Every
That's
movie,
true.
Every movie Disney does, the parents are toast.
That's pretty
My
true.
Favorite is Finding Nemo, which you shouldn't let the kids watch like the first 8 minutes because a barracuda eats the mom and 150 of his siblings.
Another good rule to take away from that movie is never let your kids touch butts. Steve's looking at me weird.
Well, I don't think he's seen the movie.
Probably not.
Okay. So anyway,
Finding Nemo.
So in 2 years, I guess we're going to have the next Star Wars, which will be Star Wars
0.5.
Well, I would think it would be 1A.
1A. That's great.
Okay, so my update is me and my husband just saw the new production of Phantom of the Opera in Hollywood.
It was amazing.
And there's a portion where they read letters from the Phantom to, or he mails, not mails, I guess he
delivers.
No, I think it went through the mail.
Oh, that would have been even more interesting.
Yeah, they went through the mail.
So we'll suppose they went through the mail.
Yeah.
How about that? Oh, yeah, because he went to different people.
Yeah. So he mailed all these, like, not hate mail, but new directions, and by the way, I hate you.
How his theater should be run.
Yeah, and that kind of thing.
Did he use the monster stamps?
Well,
it's interesting,
it's, what's interesting about it is they were all written on mourning covers.
All of them were white envelopes and letters with that famous black border on them. So they were period mourning covers that they used for the stage production.
I think we were the only people nerding out about the letters.
No, he should have
crowd.
Used the Phantom of the Opera monster stamps, and then he would have been really mailing the point.
When I sat there, we were watching it, and I said, Jessica, I started to... Those are mourning covers! I know what those are!
We were going, wow, look at that mail! We're nerds.
So it's kind of like a foreboding of what's going to happen later on in the plot, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, everyone dies anyway, but he just wishes them to die sooner, I guess.
Well,
yeah.
Did you ever see the first movie, Charade, versus the remake?
No.
The first movie, Charade, they used actual million-dollar stamps. The whole idea of Charade is that he's hiding money, and he hid him by putting stamps on an envelope and mailing the envelope to himself. And then when they did the remake, they did like, they took Fourth Bureau issue American stamps and like switched out the heads and just made stupid looking stamps. Whereas in the first one, they had a tree skilling and I think they had a C3A, but they had all these really rare cool stamps.
Yikes.
Instead of fake ones.
Maybe it was a legal issue.
Could have been.
No, they reproduced the stamps illegally.
They weren't able to get permission for the remake, maybe?
No, because they did everything else. I mean, it was the exact same story. It's just the envelope had fake-looking stupid
they
stamps.
They were on a budget.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
so they,
that's
so they could,
true.
They couldn't get a picture of a Tori Skilling and cut it out and stick it on an envelope.
Yeah, I would even venture in the first movie that they weren't actual real ones. They were going to be facsimiles.
Of course. Of course. Oh, it had a Hawaiian missionary also.
Nice.
Yeah, so... But in the new one, it just had stupid-looking stamps.
So we have a really good listener question this week, so listen up. Joseph Wetmore told us, when you guys talk about the inverted Jenny stamps, you state that only 19 have been found. Perhaps it would be better to state that only 19 have been found by collectors. There are lots of non-collectors who are buying the stamp, potentially more than collectors. If a non-collector were to purchase a right-side-up sheet, they may not think much about it. It would look normal. They would then go ahead and use them for the purpose they were designed and printed. So... there may not be any more left to find. And the other 81 sheets have been used and discarded.
Well, go.
Well, the only, the only problem with that is that there's a whole bunch of other paper that comes with the special sheets. And if you open it up and just ignore all the other paperwork, yeah, but...
it's got this extra card that says congratulations in like size 48 font.
Yeah, you've won the lottery, basically.
It. Yeah, they try to make it obvious.
And this 19 are the ones that have been reported to the post office. And
there's
actually
21 because two of them supposedly have not been
reported. Oh, they didn't report it.
And my feeling is most non-collectors are not aware that it even exists at the post office unless you saw a placard at the post office or if a clerk notified, hey, would you like these high-value stamps? Or if you went in and say, hey, do you have any $2 stamps? And that's what they showed you. Then you have a then you're aware of its existence. Other than that,
but the other thing, too, is even if you looked at the card, because I have seen the cards. I mean, we've gotten these sheets in with the cards.
True.
You know, we've expertized them. It could be construed as just a little piece of advertising, like congratulations, you know. And then you look at it and says, contact the post office. And the person's going, yeah, sure. What are you going to try to sell me? And stuff like that. It doesn't say something like, congratulations, this is special. Do not use these stamps. Contact somebody who knows what they're doing. It could be congratulations, you know. Oh, I got a neat little sheet of stamps. Wow, they're congratulating me.
Congratulations on your purchase.
Send.
Yeah.
Well, Steve and I were talking about this earlier. First off, half the clerks, when I go to find them at the post office, don't even know what they are.
Yeah.
And the other half go back to the safe to get them.
Correct.
They don't even have them in their drawers.
Back somewhere. Yeah, they're not up front. And then the other problem with that is we were thinking, okay, so what if somebody does go in that's not a collector and purchases them and goes to use them as postage? That's such a low occurrence chance as it is, because anybody who's not a collector isn't going to care about the stamps as it is. They're not going to ask for high value stamps. They're just going to slap something metered on it and be done with it.
Well, if you look back when it was first issued, the people had these stamps in their drawers.
True.
So it could very easily be somebody bought them over the counter.
Had it happened early.
It wouldn't happen now. But back when it was first issued, you know, everybody got a couple sheets and they go, okay, let's pull these out. But then you have the issue that if you're a postal clerk and you have these cellophane wrapped stamps inside of these envelopes, you're just going to sell them a normal 2-cent wavy line stamp. You're not going to go through and cut it out of the envelope.
Oh, a $2 wave.
Yeah, $2 waves.
But I do believe that if a non-collector who was not up on the news got one of these and saw the congratulations card, they would not think, oh, this is a special item. I think they'd look at it and say, oh, they're congratulating me on buying some historic stamp or something like that, and who cares?
Another piece of junk mail.
Yeah, another piece of junk mail inside of my stamps.
Well, doesn't it say something about you found 1 of 100 unique items or something like that? I can't remember exactly what it says. I saw one a long time ago.
Yeah, I don't remember what it says.
Okay.
That'd be an interesting thing to look up. That might be for next week's corrections.
Well, I cannot see how only 21 of them have been found so far. They've gone through so much of the issue that, you know, they've sold over 20% of the issue.
That's nothing. That means they still got like 19 million of them left.
No. They've sold way more than 20%. If they sold
half, that means that there's a lot out there to be fined yet.
Yeah, but if they sold 50% of the issue, you'd expect 50 fines. And we don't have 50 fines. We only have 20 fines.
So they're hoarding it.
Yeah, well, we kind of knew that.
Well, we know 3 of them didn't make it into the
proper circulation.
Into the wild.
Why?
Because they gave them out to people who bought stamps.
So that's not in the 21 count?
Yeah, no. Those 3 are.
Yeah, they gave them to...
It went from 18 to 21.
They gave them to good customers.
Yeah,
I thought it was 2. No, it's 3 people, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, they went from 18 to 21.
You know, I used to spend thousands and thousands of dollars at the stamp shows. You had the USPS boutique that was out in the front lobby. And I would ask them, I said, how much do I have to spend to get an error? And the reply was, Steve, go home.
Very funny.
So why do these 3 people qualify to get a $50,000 stamp
for
free.
Good customers.
I've been a great customer. I'm not a good customer.
Actually,
I'm a great
from customer. My look, I spend more money than these good customers.
Right? Yeah.
I have probably spent $500,000 more at the post office over the years.
If I remember the official
thing. I'm not a good customer. I'm a great customer.
Well, their official thing is they sent them to people who made regular orders through the fulfillment center.
That would be
Oh, that's
me,
discrimination
yeah.
then.
Yeah. That's what we mean. They're not in the wild. They're not behind postal counters necessarily.
I make regular purchases from the fulfillment services center. Why didn't I get one?
Yeah.
Exactly.
You don't qualify.
Why?
Apparently not.
Because you don't spend enough.
Well, I have. I bought 25 of them.
$1,000 a month.
So they're profiling. 24 left. So they're profiling the customers then.
This is when we open this one. This is a fulfillment center month ago.
But, oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
You bought more a month ago?
Yep. I was running low.
Oh.
Hey, we've done 40. This is what, episode 42?
41.
41. We've opened 41 of these things.
I just had my son open one this morning from my stash, and I told him to open up my lottery ticket and see if we won.
You won $12.
I won $12, and hey, I just put 8 of it on them.
Even money is not a bad deal.
Yeah, it's a scratcher with no intermediate prize. It's either face value or the big thing.
Well, so it's the best lottery ticket out there.
Yeah, actually, it is because...
That's true. It's always a guaranteed 100% return, at least.
If you use it for postage.
Well, you get your postage.
Which I did.
The discounted value is $10.50. Because you pay $1.50 could be you getting a $50,000. So if you do the math, the discounted value of a Jenny sheet is $10.50. There ain't anything better. Well, actually, there's a lot of stuff better because you buy the Imperf press sheets, and I sell Imperf press sheet singles for double face.
Off track.
Off track. Anyway.
Oh, Steve, you're my new friend.
What?
I have another referee in my corner.
Oh!
Another wrangler.
A cash wrangler.
Yep.
Okay, so this week our topic is about the real first stamps, which were colonial revenues. So before there was a U.S. number one or even a postmaster provisional, there were these colonial revenues, which were another way of collecting taxes from our good old British friends.
Yay! So what were they exactly?
Well, the originally, the first issue was from New York and Massachusetts. And they were just to raise money. But what happens, everybody out there, and I know we have a worldwide audience, but in the United States, we had this thing called the stamp tax. And basically, every piece of paper that came from England had a stamp on it.
And we're not talking an adhesive stamp. We're talking an embossed seal stamp or a wax seal stamp. These are stamps that show payment by actually becoming part of the document, not being affixed to the document.
Yeah, think of a postal envelope with the indicia put on it.
Okay, something that might be kind of printed on there and then embossed after the fact.
Right.
So it's not a little square piece of paper in the traditional sense of a stamp.
No.
Think of your notary republics or your notary public seal.
Well, that's easy enough.
Kind of like legal paperwork.
Yeah.
And so it was very short term because it really pissed everybody off. And the reason that it pissed people off mostly was the people who used the most paper were attorneys and newspaper people. Mm. And newspaper people wanted to know, wanted to write about stuff, and attorneys wanted to sue people. So exactly the two groups that you probably don't want to piss off are exactly the ones that you're going to be pissing off.
The ones that can sue you and know the law, and the ones that are going to blab it everywhere.
That's it. So those continued on, and it was discontinued. Then we had the revolution. And then after the revolution, we had representation after the new constitution. So, of course, we started our own Stamp Act. But our Stamp Act, we had taxation with representation. So screw everybody, start paying money.
That made it somehow fair?
That made it fair.
Ah.
And we continue with the revenue stamps all the way till today.
So any idea who made these? Was there like an actual company that was responsible, or was it like a design your own?
Any paper maker from Britain, when they shipped the paper to the United States. And actually, they also had a Stamp Act. This wasn't new for Britain or for America. They were doing it also in Britain. Every piece of paper that came off the print or came off the web, you know, I'm not talking about the World Wide Web. I'm talking about the web that
printer's web
had a one penny or whatever embossed into it, and then was shipped off.
So to get your purchase your paper, that was like paying sort of a sales tax on it. You pay the price of the paper, and then you had to pay that price as well.
Yep.
Interesting. Well, gee, we have that everywhere now. Yeah. What were they complaining about back then?
Well, for cigarettes, they used to have a tax stamp on top of it. Now they just have a nice little colored seal that isn't actually a tax stamp.
Oh, it's like printed on the plastic.
So, and
they consider that the
but you better believe they still collect that tax.
Oh yeah.
They're collected. Those little seals are collected now. That's
really
state yep. Oh yeah, they're in the state revenue catalog.
Yep.
Huh.
So the federal cigarette tax stamps don't exist anymore for cigarettes. Same thing for playing cards. They used to seal the decks with federal playing card tax stamps, and now they have a nice little sticker that's on there that looks, it's just a seal.
Placeholder, yeah.
But what tax stamps are they still using today?
Tax stamps.
I mean, honestly, the only one that I know of that I've seen is the machine gun tax stamp.
Oh, firearms transfer.
Well, no, it's actually, for those who don't know, we're in Southern California and we're near Hollywood. And Hollywood, you know, gets machine guns for their movies. And their machine guns, they actually have to pay a federal tax. So you see these certificates coming up every so often. It'll say, you know, MGM. And it's
those are for transfer of the weapons.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so those are the only tax stamps that I've seen.
Well, you have
used.
The migratory bird.
Oh, good point.
The duck stamps.
Yeah, duck stamps.
Huh. Those count.
Well, those are permit stamps, though. That's a hunting permit.
A fee is a tax.
No,
it's a
no, the is permit is different. But the permit is not valid without the stamp showing that you paid the tax.
Another name for license.
Yeah. So duck stamps, machine gun stamps, machine gunning duck stamps.
Interesting.
Any fee collected for government tax, service, registration fee, I consider all this.
So what about that little sticker you put on the license plate every time you pay your registration fee at the DMV?
Ooh.
Actually, it is.
That's a proof of payment.
It's still
what a tax stamp
technically,
is.
Technically, you're right, yeah. Technically, that's a tax stamp.
That means we all have tax stamps.
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
And we drive them around and show them off.
So that makes everyone a stamp collector that has a car.
Yeah,
pretty much.
I carry my stamp car for a while. You certainly are a stamp collector because most people just put the new one on top of the old one.
Well, I like to leave a little gap so you can see the rainbow.
I used to do that until I realized that makes it easier to peel off, and people come by and they peel off your sticker. And
if they peel it off, it tears up anyway because it's security paper.
Not if there's a whole stack of them there.
And you peel it off maybe from like the fifth or sixth one down, the top one is intact.
So I learned always take a razor blade and cut an X into your sticker before you after you attach it.
If they get the top one, then you're screwed anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if they take the whole stack, then the top one stays intact, you're screwed. So
how rare are these items?
Which ones?
Oh, well, the every car in California has one.
No.
The early ones, it's interesting because the early ones, American paper was notoriously bad. It's like if you look at the U.S. Constitution.
It was poor quality.
It's like really, it's all poor quality and stuff. If you look at British books from the same 1776, the paper is still all nice and white and high bright and stuff like that. So it really depends on the document it was put on. It was put on crappy paper. You have the embossing, but it's really bad.
The examples I have are not bad.
Yeah.
I find them to be greatly undervalued, but that's because, or my feeling is that there are so few of them out there to be collected that people can't satisfy their search or their hunt or their desire for completeness. So it's an overlooked area.
Well, see, I think that that's true.
Compared to rarity, yes, they are undervalued.
But there's a huge crossover also, which is a big thing. You have people who collect old documents and old leases and stuff like that. Currency. So there's a lot of crossover where these things don't hit the stamp market so much.
That's right.
The value of the stamp may be far, far less than the value of the actual document.
Oh, that's true. But in the other circles, they have their more prized possessions than they are in the stamp world.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, so, when there's not enough of something to collect, people tend not to pursue it because they can't satisfy their hunger.
Right, that's basically the demand, which if there's no demand, you're not going to drive
the demand. I have customers asking for them,
yeah.
Not that many, but I'm not going to surrender the few I've ever come across.
Well, they've got such a cool story to
them.
I mean, these stamps basically caused America...
Yeah,
created. I mean, these stamps caused a war.
Their historical significance outweighs their monetary value.
Yeah.
So are we talking $100, $1,000, $10,000?
How about $10 to $20?
Yeah.
No.
For some of them, yes.
$10 to $20 for the majority of them.
Wow.
That's why I say it's like, wait a minute. I see this in the catalogs, $10, and someone wants to buy it for a percentage. No, thank you. If I don't get a lobster meal out of that, I really don't care to sell it because I get as much pleasure looking at that and knowing that it's historically significant to our past and our present than
Absolutely.
A lobster meal.
Yep.
So
yep.
It's rare because they're hard to find, not because they're expensive.
Yeah.
Well, if you go to the really old ones, you know, I'm looking at the catalog right now. They're in the $400 range, and they can go all the way up to the $2,000 range.
Well, I have a piece of currency B. Franklin currency. I showed it to you once. Mm-hmm.
The Fujio.
Yeah, excuse me. It's like $125, and I'm thinking, geez, I get more pleasure looking at it than if someone gave me $100 or two $100 bills. Wait a minute. I got something that maybe Ben Franklin handled or printed himself. And even if he didn't, okay, so one of his workers did it for him.
The colonial currency.
Yeah.
There's neat ones. About half of them were designed by Paul Revere because he was one of the big engravers. And you sit there and go, this is a Paul Revere engraved note. I'm sorry, it's not worth $5.50. You know, this is a better item.
So this is something people aren't very eager to let go of.
Yeah.
No, I have plenty of other things to sell. I just hold on to these.
Yeah.
Interesting. So are there any problems or fakes or anything, counterfeits like that, to keep your eyes out for?
Not to my knowledge.
Yeah, not to my knowledge either. And the value of them is mostly based on the document they're on. If they're cut squares... they sell for much less, but they're still, like Steve said, you know, they're still not $10 items.
If you put a bunch of them in front of me that were cut squares for $10 a piece, let me buy them.
Yeah. I take every single one for $10. Yeah. I mean, no question.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of begs the next question of where would you even find these then?
Well, they were on old newspapers. And that's one of the things is they're common because... every newspaper had one, and they printed a lot of newspapers. So what you really want to do is you want to find newspapers from the 1755 to 1774 era, and there's a lot of them, and they all had this stamp on it.
So we have some that's 225 years old, and it's only $10. What's wrong with this picture?
Yeah.
Yeah, really. Whew.
Yeah, we're probably not going to find it at a thrift store either. Probably not.
Sorry. Even if you go to the coin shows and you go to the currency dealers or the colonial period, I don't think they can produce any, or if they do, a few, and they're not going to. They're going to laugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to say, like, I'll burn it before I sell it for $10.
That's funny because that just means the catalog value just doesn't make sense to me then.
It's same as postage currency or fractional
supply
postage
and demand.
Currency.
Well, I think another part of it is you have a stamp catalog and the editor is focusing on postage stamps and other things.
I thought he was focusing on computer vended
material. And this stuff is deep in the back of the book. there are very, very few collectors, and so it gets very little attention when it comes time to looking at the values every year after year.
Okay.
And my guess is some of these values probably haven't been updated in 30 years.
Or longer. My plug is for the catalog is, why not, in the scope of the U.S. Specialized, after all these years, put a couple supplemental pages to price full sheets of stamps, which they have neglected.
Well, how big do you want the catalog?
You didn't. I prefaced it with a couple page supplement. Yeah. I didn't say go back and put it under each listing. I said put in a couple page supplement from basically like 408 to the small pains issues, which would take two pages in the catalog. They do more editorial crap than they do the pricing. Yeah. That's relevant to the collector demand and that the dealers need for information. People say Brickman's too high. Well, Brickman's too high, but it's the only one we have as a guide for those earlier sheets. So, I'm not going to pay Brickman. Okay, Scott, address the issue. They never address the issue.
So this is one of those, definitely one of those categories in Specialized that kind of confused me. Because you're flipping through, and then you go, what are these? They don't look like stamps. Why are they here?
But they are a duck.
Well, they're under revenue stamped paper. That runs all the way into things like checks. Yeah. and
I like revenue
which are very common, and you can usually pick those up for
up to $2,
you know, for a buck or $2 a piece, and there are all sorts of designs there as well. So it's a really cool area to get into, but not a lot of people do.
The thing is, if you find a revenue check, you don't find one. You find a bundle of 100 of them. I mean, they come in large groups.
Let's start pursuing it and put upward pressure on the market.
Well, I have purchased exactly zero of them because I have seen exactly zero of them. You're a dealer, and you see all this stuff. And how many have you found?
I think I have 14 of them after 40 years of dealing, and they all came from one. Actually, I bought one or two separately over the years, and I bought a big collection. I don't know how many thousands of dollars I paid for the collection, 10, 12, 20, I don't remember. But it was a section that I, this goes in my cabinet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I equate it to something that I look for, which is the early Lion issues of Afghanistan. And I've been looking for Afghanistan stamps probably for easily 25 years and probably longer. And I have a grand sum total of about 20 of them. And I think these are the same thing, and I'm looking for those. If I had asked everybody for revenue, 17th century revenues, I'd probably find 20 of those after 25 years.
I don't think so. Honestly don't think you'd find that many.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a really good feeling about our Jenny sheet today. Can we open that up there?
Ooh, it's again, a fulfillment center sheet.
This is from the fulfillment center.
Get our drum roll going.
Oh, yeah, we need a drum roll.
Yeah, that thing.
Oh,
that's after.
That's the after.
Oh.
So do the before after and the after before.
Dun, 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 dun. $12 in postage. Again, the card is blank.
It's another normal upside down sheet.
The stiffener card. Actually, this one's interesting. It has a whole bunch of blue into the word U.S. postage.
It's a transfer? Double transfer?
No, it's like the top is highly discolored here. Look.
Oh, they must have spilled some liquid on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's obviously just spill.
Wash.
Ink wash.
Hey, our guy that found the $50,000 sheet is building an exhibit, and he might be interested in that.
Well, the one that I look for.
$29.95.
The one that I look for on these is obviously the broken wheel, because that's one that people actually recognize.
What position is that?
I believe it's this one. It's position the top left. One. Yes, position number one.
It can incur in any of the top three positions.
So. Oh, cool. So you have three chances of finding the broken wheel variety.
Yes,
yep.
Broken wheel.
Or flat
broken.
Tire.
Or flat tire.
Oh, it's actually, it looks like it got punctured.
Oh, no, it just printed half of the wheel.
Oh. Yeah.
Half of the wheel got printed.
Wait a minute, only 9 ounces?
Huh?
The football?
Oh, ha ha. I get it.
Okay, you can email us at stampshowheretoday@gmail.com, Twitter at stampshowht, Facebook Stamp Show Here Today, and our website www.stampshowtoday with your questions and comments. You can now leave your questions in the comments on a Google Voice answering machine anytime. Country code 1-949-873-4298. There's also a link to our Google Voice on our website so you can make the call from your computer. And on that note, keep collecting.
Hi, this is Chris Harmer of Harmer Show Auctions, and I'm at Stamp Show here today.
Hi, this is Stephen Patillo, also known as Stamp Show Steve. I'm sitting here in the offices of PSE, Professional Stamp Experts, and I'd like to say hi and welcome you all to come to the various stamp shows once a month in Glendale, Van Nuys, and Anaheim. You can find all these dates, locations, and maps at stampshowsteve.com, and we welcome you to bring your stamps in to sell or buy or trade. There's multiple dealers there to help you fill in your collection or to buy what you may have for them. I hope that you all can sometime venture out and come to one of our shows, look it up on our website, and come in if you have stamps for authentication purposes or grading purposes. Seek out myself or the table that represents PSE Professional Stamp Experts.
This episode of Stamp Show Here Today is brought to you by the Philatelic Book of Secrets, the book that teaches you about repurfs, regums, color varieties, and much more. Get yours for $10 at www.philatelicsecrets.com today. No such soul. Return to send up. Return. Send up. Return to send up.